ladies, and welcome back to the podcast. I think it might be called Mom Struggling Well again here pretty soon, so I'm not really sure what to call it right now. But you know where you're at, because you pressed the button. So welcome to the thing you thought you were about to listen to. I hope you're having a lovely July. I hope you're taking a little bit of time to have a break. We had a great vacation to Missouri. Maybe you saw it on Instagram. We did so many fun art things. We made things out of glass. We threw pots on a pottery wheel, and we cannot wait until all the things are finished and mailed to our house. It's like the vacation that keeps on giving. Something interesting that happened this week is my son has been complaining of ear pain for months, and he's been on several rounds of antibiotics, and we thought we were done with that, and ear drops 3 times a day, which is a lot to remember. And then a month went by and he was fine. And then all of a sudden he's complaining of pain again in his ear. And when I wasn't looking, he shoved a Q-tip in there and pulled out a bunch of black stuff. I told him, well, buddy, I think you must be a zombie. I didn't think he would think I was serious. He did. And so then I had a whole nother problem on my hands convincing my son that he was not in fact a zombie. Whoopsie daisy. That was not my best parenting move, but it was a good time, at least for me. Anyway, turns out it was an ear fungus, you guys. Ear fungus. That's disgusting. So anyway, if your kid ever pulls black stuff out of his ear, take him to an ENT, okay? Because it's a whole situation. He had to get it sucked out. That was not fun. And now we're back to more and different ear drops 3 times a day. So anyway, that's the saga of my son's left ear. Stay tuned to hear what happens in it next. All right, so ladies, this week I am talking to one of the most remarkable women I have ever had the pleasure of interviewing. Her name is Laura Jones. As you know, I get pitched a great deal of people as guests for this show. Very few stories stop me in my tracks as much as the story of Laura Jones. When I found out about her story, I immediately reached out and said, yes, tell us everything you know. Because somebody who has been through this much of a trial has got a great deal to teach us. And I wish that you could have seen the joy and peace on her face as she told her story. God has done a remarkable work in this woman's heart. And so while it's not an easy topic, you will be so impacted by the words of Laura Jones. So let's go ahead and get started. So, wow, the story. I can't even. We'll just get started. Will you introduce yourself to us? Tell us just a little bit about you.
Absolutely. I'm Laura Jones. I've been God appointed to live.
Gosh,
I think maybe that's the best way to put that.
What a statement. Yes. What do you like? So much of the way we introduce ourselves is I'm married, I have kids, Tell us your story.
Yeah. I grew up in Southwest Kansas, the farmer's daughter. Loved it. Simple life.
What kind of
thought
farm?
Life should be easy. Wheat, Milo, cattle.
What's Milo?
It's they use it for cattle feed.
Okay.
When I went off to college, I went to Kansas State University. That's where I met and then married my husband. His name was J.L. Jones. And he was studying to be an engineer, and I was studying to be an accountant. When he had 6 months, once left of his engineering degree, God called him to the ministry.
Oh, man.
So, right? I had a year left. He had a semester left. So he finished his degree and I did mine as well. And then we went off to seminary together.
Okay.
And so we started that adventure. Our first little church was in Clay Center, Kansas. We were there for 7 years. Our daughter was born there in 1990. Then we moved to Grand Island, Nebraska. And we were there for 7 years. Not by design, but that's just how it worked. And our son, Jaden, was born there.
Okay.
And then we moved to Miami, Oklahoma. Now, life was not always easy. There's lots of stories of learning how to believe when things got hard, that were genuinely hard. But by the time we moved to Miami, Oklahoma, life was on a really good upswing. And God had done some miracles in our family with healing us in every way, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And that was the best time of our lives. And
how long were you in Oklahoma?
I lived there another 7 years.
Oh, man.
My family lived there four.
Okay.
And so in 2004, we were just traveling home to visit my mom and his parents. My dad had already gone to be with the Lord. We were just coming home for Thanksgiving because pastors don't really get to go home for Christmas.
Very good point.
Never we always went home at Thanksgiving time. So that's what we were doing. We left Miami. It had been a warm November. We weren't worried about the weather. It was raining not too far out of Miami. It started raining. And we stopped in Wichita, Kansas for a late supper with family there. And then we got back on the road about 9 maybe. And I fell asleep in the front seat of the van expecting to wake up in my mother and father-in-law's house about midnight. But I woke up instead on the highway. We had been involved in a head-on collision. The rain had changed to snow. There was black ice there's not very many valleys in Kansas, but in that valley, there was some black ice. And the pickup coming from the other way slid across the center line and hit us near head-on. And in the coming hours, I would learn that my husband and my son died on the highway. My daughter died a few hours later.
I can't even.
And like I said, God chose for me to live. My questions immediately was, why? And then when I saw the van, it was, why did I live?
Really? So it was really tore up.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the actual accident? Or were you?
Yeah. Not the impact. I was asleep when it struck, which I'm so grateful that I don't remember the impact. And I was knocked out. But when I came to, I certainly remember all of that.
Okay. So from just a neurological standpoint and the trauma of it, how are you managing that?
There are effects of that trauma that I will live with for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Times when I trigger and freeze.
What are triggers for you? Would it be, I mean, I can only imagine cars, trucks, roads, kids.
What? The first 2 or 3 years, there would be times when I was driving that I would just suddenly feel like the vehicle coming toward me was going to cross the lane.
Oh,
even
yes.
though I didn't see that, it's still, you know, it's still there.
Yes.
And it would trigger me. Sometimes I would just have to pull over and wait or cry it out or whatever and just wait until I could drive again. But today, the triggers are things like flashing lights at night.
Okay. Yeah.
From an emergency vehicle.
Yeah.
Those will really stop me.
Okay. I think that's just important because if you, maybe you've had one trauma, but you don't know a lot of people who have or who talk about it, you can feel like you're a little crazy for having those triggers, but they're very normal. And so I just want to say that in case somebody's dealing with something and they don't exactly understand why. It's very normal.
Mm-hmm.
To be triggered by those things. I want to stop the podcast for a second to tell you about my favorite meal prep company, Prep Dish. Prep Dish makes my life so much easier. My friend Allison and her team make weekly menus. They make my grocery list. They give me step-by-step instructions on how to spend a couple hours prepping so that I have a whole week's worth of meals in my refrigerator so that when it's time to eat, all I have to do is heat it up and enjoy. Like I said, since I started working, I'm leaning heavy on their quick prep meal plans. But ladies, really all of them are amazing. It's all clean ingredients, like grilled coconut lime shrimp. She makes shredded beef, lettuce wraps. They're all really yummy. It gets you out of a cooking rut that you're in, has your family trying new things that are not weird, but just new and healthy. So if you want to try Prep Dish for 2 weeks completely free, go to prepdish.com/SWP and then enter coupon code SWP and you get to try it for free. And by the way, when you support our sponsors, you're supporting the show. So please go ahead and give PrepDish a try if you have not yet. I guarantee you're going to love it.
I don't really know where even to go. I just am so sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's how long has it been since the accident?
It'll be 15 years in November.
Okay. So it's not fresh, like it just happened.
Mm-mm.
Talk to me about the grief of that, of losing. I mean, I know that God is good. He's always, always good. This just feels like a little bit much.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? I have so many questions. Yes. What about your faith? Like, what about, just start talking and I'll ask you questions as we go. I'm having a harder time than you are at this very moment. Oh, my gosh.
I understand. The shock of it all is one of the mechanisms that God designed us with to help us be able to cope.
Yeah.
It's a defense mechanism that's very important. And that was very present for me, just to be able to absorb what I was seeing in the van. I should have known that my husband was dead, especially.
Oh, but you didn't.
I should have known.
Okay.
But I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So that shock wrapped itself up around me and took care of me for a while.
Okay.
It was the best way I know how to picture it is it's like God's hand was underneath the pain, holding it up off of me.
Mm.
And then as weeks and months went by, he just slowly put it down on top of me. I mean, you have to experience it all in the honesty of life, but he put it down as gently as he could on me. It was a while before it was at its very worst, if that makes sense.
What was it like? I mean, I just can't conceive of planning the funeral of your three closest people to you. What was that? Did you do like one at... Did you do them all at once?
We did.
Okay, because I would think three times would be.
We did two separate funerals because Miami and Liberal, where I grew up, was 400 miles apart.
Okay.
So we did a full funeral and buried them in our hometown.
Okay.
And then a few days later, we did a memorial service in our church where he pastored in Miami. Those were huge, huge, both were huge services. The schools told the kids that, both of my kids were in middle school, so the school told them, the whole school, that if an adult would pick them up, they could go.
Okay.
And there were 150 children dismissed to go.
Wow. Okay. What was the most helpful thing that outsiders from your family did for you during that time?
Wow. There were so many things. The community of Miami, it's about 20,000 people, and they just wrapped themselves around me, not just our church, but every church in town, whatever denomination. They took care of basic needs. There was a list on my refrigerator that said, if you need help with the lawn, call this number. If you need help with an appliance that goes out, call this number. If you need an electrician, call this number. If you need a plumber, call this number.
That's amazing.
And it was a long time before a single day went by where no one took me, either brought me dinner, ate with me, or took me somewhere.
Okay.
It was a long time before that happened, where I did a whole day by myself. They took care of me. I couldn't have done it without that community. And then my own family, my siblings and my mom and my husband's family, they did too. They were a long ways away, but they took care of me. My mom stayed with me for 6 weeks. I came and stayed with my mom for part of that time, and part of that time she stayed where I was.
So then did you move back? Like, what do you even do your entire life? What did that look like?
I stayed in Miami. There's a lot of pieces to answer that question, but one of the things that my husband had recently done was write a walk through the Bible reading plan. And I wondered why he was writing it. Like, you can get those anywhere.
That's so funny.
Like, what are you doing? But he spent hours working on it. It was very complex. You can find it on my website, by the
way.
Okay. If you want to look at it. And it was very complex, but it was designed for people, even if they only had a little bit of time, they could read a portion of the New Testament or a portion of the Old Testament in a year, or you could follow the whole thing and you could read the whole Bible in a year. Mm-hmm. And so he worked really hard on it. And then he said, okay, we're going to start in September and we're going to do this as a church. And I was like, September, you start all new things in January. What are you thinking? but no, we started in September, but he didn't live till January.
Huh.
So I had made that commitment along with my church and to my husband, and we were reading that together, and God knew that. He knew I wouldn't be able to do it just for myself. Mm. So he set it up, God did, yeah, so that after the accident happened, I would want to keep that commitment to Jay.
Wow.
So I kept reading, and those verses began to answer those questions.
You're kidding me.
So one of the questions I was asking is, where am I supposed to live? Yeah. We were living in a parsonage. Uh-huh. So I was going to need to move out. That's a church-owned home.
Yeah.
So I was going to need to move out of that house, not quickly, but relatively soon.
Yeah.
And I didn't know where to go. And so I was reading in 1 Corinthians, and there's a chapter there. I want to say it's chapter 7. And this is totally out of context, and that's okay. I know what God did with this passage, so
yes,
people might argue with me, but I know,
yes,
that this verse just lifted off the page to me, yeah, and it said, each one should stay in the situation he was in when he was called. And it's talking about circumcision. Doesn't really apply to me, but but I read it and I read it and I read it and I realized God was saying, I called you to Miami. Stay in the situation you were in when I called you.
Okay.
And I knew that if I was to leave there, if God wanted me to leave there, he would call me someplace else.
Okay.
That I shouldn't leave just by circumstances. We'd never left a church by circumstances, only by calling. So I stayed there 3 years in Miami.
Wow. Okay.
Then I moved back to home where I grew up after the 3 years when God called me there to another church and an assignment there.
Heaven's sakes. Because, I mean, from the outside looking in, it would seem like that's the time to get the heck out of there. And all those memories and feels like re-exposure to heartbreak after heartbreak.
It didn't feel like that for me. It felt like a cocoon.
Okay.
And I desperately needed my children's friends. Mm. I desperately needed them. And they needed me too. Okay. So I spent a lot of time with teenagers.
Okay.
And that was really important.
So it wasn't extra painful to be around them. It was actually helpful.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it was very helpful.
Okay.
I know everybody's different, but yeah, to me it was very helpful because I needed to hear their stories. I needed to hear, you remember what happened when, you know, and I needed all of that so badly. And teenagers are really good at crying with people.
Mm.
Adults are not as good at that.
Interesting.
We have all those borders or whatever. I don't know. We're afraid of making people sad.
Okay.
I got frustrated with that. Like people, adults would say something and I would start to cry and they'd say, see, I didn't want to make you sad. And I it's like,
I'm already
made me sad. An accident made me sad. It's like,
yes,
you know, that frustrated me, but teenagers didn't do that. And I learned then how to teach adults to grieve and to let me grieve.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Cause I think we don't know what to do and we get very awkward. So.
We do. We get very awkward. And mine, I know, was extremely complicated for adults because they didn't want to talk about their children around me. They didn't want to talk about their husband around me. And well, I was the church secretary and I quit that job. So they didn't really want to talk about their job around me. Like, what do I talk about around her? So they'd just be quiet.
Mm.
But I wanted them to just do life around me.
Yeah.
I needed them to just do life around me.
Yeah.
And they learned how.
Okay.
They learned how to do that.
Okay.
Don't be afraid of people's tears, I think is what I would say.
Yeah. And yeah, I love what you said. Like, you didn't cause this. Just because you're here while I'm crying, that doesn't mean you made me cry.
Yeah. No. And even if what you said released the tears, that's a good thing. Because mm-hmm. they're just right under the surface all along.
Oh, bless you. Gosh.
And you really gave me permission to cry, and that's okay.
I want to pause for a moment and tell you about actually our very first sponsor ever of the show way a long time ago, Jelly Telly. Jelly Telly is an ad-free subscription video app for Christian kids that also creates children's books to help kids grow in their faith. They've got board books, picture books, activity books. They also have middle grade books. And coming soon, they have a Bible for kids called the Laugh and Learn Bible. It's the first ever storybook Bible written by VeggieTales and What's in the Bible creator Phil Fisher. In the Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids, each story is vividly illustrated and includes a family connection plus other bonus content that connects the stories, allowing you to engage your kids in gospel-led conversations while you read the Bible. It is so cool and so necessary. So right now, Jelly Telly is offering a special pre-order deal. You can visit laughandlearnbible.com and use the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL to pre-order the Bible for $9.99. That's 50% off. You can also get a free download of the Read and Color the Gospels, which is a 64-page Bible sampler that your kids can color as you read together. Come on, that is so neat. You'll also receive a sample of the audio Bible narrated by the one and only Phil Fisher. So pre-order the Laugh and Learn Bible for kids today and begin a fun-filled journey through the Bible with your family. Visit laughandlearnbible.com and use coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, all one word, to save 50%. How long until you wrote and said that you are able to feel joy again, you are able to feel alive again? How long did that take? Did you feel bad about enjoying your life again?
Yeah, one of the things that God did for me was bring into my life an adopted daughter.
Really?
Who's a couple years older than my daughter would be.
Okay.
And while I was still in Miami, I met her, and I spent a lot of time at the little college that's in Miami, just volunteering there. I've always loved college students because they ask good questions and have great conversations.
Yes.
And so they started hanging out at my house, and that was super helpful to me because they didn't know my family. So they helped me figure out who Laura is.
Okay.
So that was super helpful. So anyway, those relationships I still have. I've kept up with those kids. And one of them, or two of them in particular, well, I should say one, Teresa, when I did move back home to Liberal, Kansas and took a job at a church here, I was able to have an intern to help me with children's ministry. And so I wrote back to that group of kids, anybody want to come help me? And Teresa said yes. So she spent 3 summers being my intern. Now, during that time, she lost her mom. Her mom passed away suddenly.
Oh, wow.
And then not too long after that, her father passed away also.
Wow.
And in the midst of all of that, God just drew us together.
Yeah.
And an adoption of the heart happened.
That so reminds, that, that really makes me think of the Bible verse that says that God sets the lonely in families.
Yes. But guilt was very difficult for me to learn to love Teresa and to give her what my heart wanted to give Janessa.
Oh.
Was very difficult and took a long time for me to embrace. A long time.
I didn't even think about that. Wow.
There's this guard, you know, on my heart.
Yes.
That to love deeply means that you can lose. And,
yes.
You know, that's an effect that I'll carry forever, to choose to love deeply, even though I know well how much you can lose.
Wow. What does your relationship with God look like now?
God was so present, even in the van.
Okay, tell me about that.
Music is one of the things that really speaks to my soul. You see that completely through the book that I've written. It's called Song of a Wounded Heart. Yes. It uses songs. Mm. But when I say Song of the Wounded Heart, I really mean hope. Okay. Hope is the Song of Wounded Heart. But the first song that ministered to me, God sang to me in the van. I had heard it before on the radio, but I didn't know the song.
Okay.
I just recognized the tune and I knew it was God. So I listened to that and it came to me in like sound bites and phrases.
Okay.
Each time when I needed it. So when I opened my eyes and began to understand we'd been in an accident, tried to wake up my husband and couldn't, right in the middle of all of that, he said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Over and over and over, like a stuck record.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? Stuck record.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. It just repeated itself over and over. And then the EMTs came and take me out first. And I thought, that's really puzzling. It seems like everybody else is hurt worse. And they said, no, we're taking you first. And right then, the next phrase of the song said, "The voice of truth says this is for my glory." Mm. And I thought, okay, that must mean that it's going to be okay, right? Mm. We're going to be okay. If it's for your glory, that must mean it's going to be okay. Mm. And then they took me to a little hospital nearby and then took Janessa by ambulance to a trauma center back in Wichita. And so I'm waiting on that backboard. And that's where I was when they came and told me that Jay and Jaden were gone and Janessa probably wouldn't live through the night. And in that hospital, or right as the chaplain said that, I heard the conclusion of that verse, which says, "Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth." You know that song, "To Be the Voice of Truth" by Casting Crowns, was new in 2004. And I knew God was there. I knew he was there. I knew he was doing something, but what? For days and days and days, I would just look at my mom and say, "I can't do this. I can't do this." And mom, she'd just nod like, "I know." There was no like, "You can do it. You're an overcomer." You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
No,
yes.
It was beyond what I could do. And we both knew that, but we both knew God could do it.
Yeah.
So a few weeks later, somebody asked me, "Are you going to keep believing?"
Mm.
And I was like, "Oh, that's how this happens." Like, I've watched people walk away from their faith before. I've been in the ministry for almost 20 years and I've always been perplexed by that. How do you walk away?
Yeah.
This is how you walk away.
No kidding.
This is how you walk away. And then immediately fear just washed through me. Mm. Like, walk away? Are you serious? That would mean I believe there's no God. There's nobody to take me through this. There's no life after this one. That would make my children just dead. There's no hope for heaven. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
I know this God. I heard him. I've heard him before.
Yeah.
He's here with me. No, I'm not walking away. So that was a monumental shift within me, a choice to believe the voice of truth.
Yeah.
And like I said, I stayed in the Bible. Those two things were enormous. And then all the people around me that gave me permission to say whatever I was thinking, whatever question I had, no condemnation for questioning what God was doing or being angry or any of that, that all made it possible.
Gosh, it's overwhelming. Does everybody cry when they hear your story?
Many people cry.
Yeah.
I speak all over the country and have for many years and we do women's retreats. I love to do women's retreats, but usually there's Kleenex boxes on every table.
I know,
and
I'm looking, I don't have any in here.
I feel bad because I always make people cry. But I try to do both, too.
Yeah.
Permission to laugh and give you permission to cry you know, because that is a healed heart. Hmm. We need to be able to do both.
Yeah.
If you can do both, you know, your heart works.
I love
That's
that.
What God is doing. He's not trying to take away pain. He's just trying to help your heart work, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Your story is a heavy one. I know that I don't know you, but I'm really proud of you. Could have just, like you said, you could have walked away. You could have shut down. You could have just watched Dancing with the Stars all the time and eat Doritos every day and just never leave your house again. I don't like Doritos and I don't like TV, but you could just have closed off. It would have seemed like the easier thing to do, at least initially.
Yeah. All I really did, I didn't work for 3 years before I felt like my head was clear enough to work.
Yeah.
And God provided for me during that time miraculously. And I did spend a lot of quiet time, a lot of time building a fire in the fireplace, watching the flames, just listening to God.
Yeah.
Time, you know, watching kids play ball. Soccer, just staying mildly busy.
Yeah.
Things to do.
What do you wish that moms in the middle of all of the shenanigans of family life, what do you wish they knew?
We spend so much time thinking it'll be better when, or just when we get through this, then we can do that. When always looking for the next stage of parenthood or the next stage of your job or when you make a little more money or whatever, just live in the present.
Yeah.
Instead of in what you hope the future will be.
Yeah. It's really hard, but you don't ever really literally know if you have tomorrow.
You don't. And even if you do have tomorrow, time goes by so fast.
Mm.
And those memories are what will sustain you, because your children will grow up and they will move away. And you want lots of memories of the time you've spent with them, that they mattered more than your to-do list and, you know, making more money or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Dancing with the Stars.
Or Dancing with the Stars. Oh my goodness. So you have a book, you speak at places, like what's your future looking like?
I have no idea. I feel like I'm on a sailboat with no way to steer. It's all the Holy Spirit's taking me somewhere and I don't know where that is. I didn't intend, I never would have dreamed in my life that I'd be a speaker. Okay. I did that out of obedience, and then God changed my heart, and I love it now. And I never dreamed I would write a book. You remember I said I have an accounting degree? A long ways from writing. But I know that God gave me that book, and He was relentless. I was supposed to write it. I didn't want to relive it enough to write it. It was a gift of my heart to others so that they could find hope too.
Yeah.
And what will God do with it? I don't know.
It's really not your business, right? It's something He wanted done.
Right. Although I would really kind of like to know. I went on a trip the other day. I was driving and I was like, so God, is there anything you can tell me about what's coming? Like, do I get to still work in small churches and do women's retreats and stuff, or is this going to get bigger? Is there anything you could tell me? And you know what He said?
What?
Enjoy the trip.
Fine.
That didn't tell me nothing.
Okay, so I looked, and I don't think that your book came to my house. Has it come out yet? I don't really know anything about the book stuff.
It's officially out as of Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can order it anywhere, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, you know, all the typical places, any place where you go online to order. And it can now be ordered by brick-and-mortar bookstores. So you can go to your local bookstore and say, order it for me, you know.
Okay. And tell me the name of it again.
Song of a Wounded Heart.
Okay.
And my website is laurajones.org. You just have to know to spell my name, Lora. because my mom was creative.
That's so creative of her. I love that. So before we end, though, I wanted to just ask you, what is something in your life right now that you can't stop talking about?
Well, there is a book that I just read called Spiritual Prepper by Jake McCandless. I met him at a writer's conference.
Okay.
And so I wanted to read his book, but I was so taken by it because it matches with what I'm trying to tell people too, but from a different angle. He's been in the ministry a long time, and so he tells stories without names of people that he's met that left their faith because of something bad that happened, some of which returned and some that didn't, and just their wrestling of how they came to those conclusions. And then this book, how can you be prepped? Spiritual prepping, not like preparing for doomsday of Armageddon, you know, or the end of our world, but doomsday of the end of your faith. How do you prepare your faith for times that can be so difficult that you might choose to walk away? How can you prepare for that?
That's amazing.
And I just was really taken by that book.
Yes. That's great. Thanks for now I have a lot of new books I need to get. Laura, thank you so much for sharing your story and what you've done. I'm so excited to see the ride that God has you on with the release of this book.
It's really fun because you actually use the video. All the other ones I've done,
yeah.
I'm just talking to a screen. So it's really been nice to be able to actually see you. And
watch me cry. It's nice. You like this? All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily.
Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? I can't even imagine. I really got to boohoo in there at the end. Oh, it really just does seem like it's too much for one person. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Laura said? I know one thing is to be in the moment and be thankful for what you have in this very chaotic, dirty, loud moment. I don't remember where I heard about one way to get perspective is to literally take a step back and look at where you are this very minute with fresh eyes. Where are the blessings in your right now life? All the messes to clean up, all the dirt in the crevices of all the things, the to-do list that doesn't ever seem to stop, that is largely for other people. Those things are all blessings. They really, really are. And they, even if something tragic doesn't happen to your family, they're not going to last forever. So I think for me, Laura's story just really snaps things into perspective. And I hope it did for you too. Maybe you struggle well this week by knowing better how to reach out to people who are grieving. Not to be afraid to make them cry. They were about to cry anyway. Like Laura said, you did not make them sad. The loss made them sad. But it sure is helpful to talk about it. Maybe you right now are lonely for any number of reasons. Psalm 68:6, I mentioned it in the interview, but it says that God sets the lonely in families. So if you are just in a place where you cannot find a connection, God knows that and he wants that for you. And so keep asking him and keep your eyes open because he'll put you with somebody who needs you just as much as you need them. If you enjoyed this episode, even though it was really hard, please do share it. Share it with a grieving person. Share it with a mom who needs perspective. Share it with someone whose life, for whatever reason, feels irreparably broken. Because we know God is in the business of fixing broken things. If you haven't already, find me on Instagram. I love Instagram. At Mom Struggling Well. I really love interacting with people there, and so I want to get to know you more. So do it. I dare you. And make sure you're subscribed to this podcast because this month we'll do a Struggling Sisters with my sister Katie. We'll do a Problem Solved with Rebecca. I'm going to bring back on my friend Elisa Keaton. In this interview, I'm very vulnerable about my body and my wellness and where I'm getting stuck. And Elisa gets me unstuck. And then also, I'm talking to my friend Kate Battistelli, and you don't want to miss that. All right, ladies, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for your sweet daughter, Laura Jones. I can't even believe that story, God, and it really does feel like too much. But I can see from the peace and joy in her eyes and in her words that she is more convinced than ever that you are a God worth following and you are always, always good. God, would you give us perspective on the blessings in our lives right this very second? Would you help us not to wait until something changes to be thankful and joyful and fully awake to our lives? I pray for people who are grieving. I pray for people who are lonely. Lord, would you bring extra measures of comfort today to them? You are so, so good, and I'm thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.